faith. We pray for the word that will be brought to fulfillment in his love. We pray for the word that will enable us each, O God, to be holy unto you, Father. For we seek to be a holy people unto you, Father. We speak to be a people set apart unto you, Father. A people who belong to you, Father. We seek, O God, to have hearts that are circumcised so that we will love you with all of our heart and with all of our soul. So that we will live, O God, the life that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The life that you have described and given us through the witness and testimony of Jesus. The life that stands in the witness of blood, water, and spirit. The life that unveils in the true and faithful witness the beginning of the creation of God. The amen, O God, of your holy will and your holy purposes with each and every one of us. We thank you for bringing us to this place. And we pray, O God, that you will use this place for your purposes. And when it's time to move to some other place, O God, we pray that, Lord, you will lead us and you will enable us, O God, to realize, O God, your right timings, O God. We pray, O God, for the children who are going to be touched in this ministry, Lord. We pray especially, O God, for those children who will one day be men, who will lead men and women, O God, who will lead, O God, a host of people, O God, into the knowledge of thee, Lord. We pray that even at a young age they will come into a true knowledge of thee, Lord Jesus. That they will be anointed, O God, to stand in your presence. That they will be anointed, O God, to know your face. That they will come into an intimacy that knows you and loves you and truly belongs to you, Father. That as they are enabled and empowered, O God, by the Spirit, to receive and realize the fullness of Jesus Christ, they will also manifest the anointings and the giftings that will truly bear testimony, O God, to the glory of your grace. Father, we pray for a unique work to be manifested in the life of each person who comes into this place, Lord. We pray that you will use us as your vessels, that we will be living testimonies, O God, of the glory of your grace, that we will have, O God, a witness to communicate, O God, to those who are around us, that they will know and understand that we have a treasure, O God, that is priceless, Lord. We have a treasure that ignites in our life. We have a treasure that truly gives expression to our every thought, our every word, our every intent, attitude, desire, and imagination. O God, we have, O God, a treasure, O God, that will truly be a blessing to us in all eternity, Lord. We have an indestructible treasure, Father, and we pray that we will value him who has been given to us, Lord. That we will truly unveil him by the Spirit and express him by the Holy Spirit so that his fullness will fill all in all. We ask you, O God, to sanctify the leadership of this church, Lord, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We pray for every hidden agenda to be uprooted, to be nailed to the cross of Jesus. That, Lord, there will be no other agendas before you except your plan and your purpose for each one of us. That, Lord, we will learn to hear and understand what you have purpose for each one of us. And we will come to respect, O God, the callings upon each other's lives, O God. Father, because if we do not have that sort of an understanding of what the body of Christ is all about, Lord, we do not appreciate what you have given us on the cross, Lord. So we pray for every ugly word to be removed from our midst. We pray for every word of condemnation, every word of criticism, every undermining word, every wrong thought, every wrong attitude, O God, to be absolutely uprooted by the roots from our innermost parts, Lord, and be nailed to the cross of Jesus. We pray for that root of the love of money to be uprooted and to be nailed to the cross of Jesus. We pray, O God, for the root of David to be manifested within us so that we will unveil as the offspring of David, a people who have the key of David in a growing reality that establishes us, O God, in your precious name, Father. We pray that as you unveil the name of Jesus, we will be able to function in the name of Jesus in every area of our lives, whether it's our business or whether it's our profession, whether it's in our family homes, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our ministries, in every area of our lives, O God, we pray that we will learn, O God, how to function in the name of Jesus. We will learn to receive from you, and we will learn to express that which you have given, so that all may know that we have a treasure that is an imperishable treasure. It is a treasure, O God, of awesome dimensions. It is a manifested treasure, O God. So we pray that you will give us all, O God, a growing revelation of Jesus Christ, that his fullness will truly be manifested upon our hearts, O God, that our hearts will be of his flesh, Lord, so that we will give true expression to him in thought, word, and in deed. Father, bless us, Lord, that we may bless Thee, O God. Bless us, O God, that the fragrance of Your Son may continuously be proclaimed from our hearts, O God, the altars of our hearts before You, in conscious terms and subconscious terms and in unconscious terms, that we will be acceptable to You, Father. And because of the fragrance of Jesus Christ, we will be able to stand before You at all times. That we will be able to stand before You in conscious terms, subconscious terms, and in unconscious terms. That we will walk before You to be a blessing, O God, upon the face of the earth. To see, O God, Your abundance flow out of our lives, flow into our lives, flow through us, Lord. We pray that You will build a ministry here, O God, that is after Your own heart. You will build and raise a people here who will be after Your own heart. A people who will come to taste and see that the Lord their God, He is good. A people who will cease striving and know that You are God. A people who will rise, O God, to truly, O God, unveil the power that comes forth in Your Sabbath rest, Lord. A people who have a sense of destiny and have, O God, the potentials, O God, of fulfillment written in our hearts, O God, so that we will always understand, Lord, that we will be the head and not the tail, that we will be above and not beneath. Give us a servant heart so that we may serve others. Give us a heart that is strengths, that is entirely framed and fashioned in Your love, so that we may overcome, O God, the failings of others, O God. Enable us, O God, to speak the word that stands in Your word. Enable us, O God, to manifest that word so that we may unveil as the oracles of our living God, Father. That we will have the utterances of God, that we can speak, O God, into our lives. We can speak into situations and circumstances, and we can see the living God move in His time over, O God, our situations and circumstances. We can see You open doors where there are no doors, O God. So we pray that You will seal this place, O God, by the Spirit of promise, Lord. That You will seal this place in the blood of the Lamb. That truly, Lord, every power, every principality, every might and dominion that stands against the knowledge of Thee, Abba Father, that stands against the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that stands against the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, we bind in the name of Jesus, Lord. We bind, O God, and proclaiming, O God, that witness that is of the cross, Lord. That witness in spirit, water, and blood. That witness that stands within us. That witness that unites us as a people of God. So, Father, we pray that You will enable us, O God, to become a church, O Lord, that understands that the law has been abolished in the flesh of the Lamb. That we will know freedom and liberty in grace and in truth, Lord. That we will know freedom and liberty by the Holy Spirit, Lord. That we will stand in the positions that You have called us to stand. We will realize those positions, appreciating those who are called to stand with us as well, Lord. We pray for that kind of a perspective of life, O God, to be manifested within us, Lord. So unite us by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Unite us before You. Unite us in Your love. Unite us so that we will truly understand Your grace. That we will truly be overcomers. That we will walk in Your righteousness. That we will become Your righteousness. So, Father God, come and fill our hearts. Come and sanctify us. Come and set us free in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the tabernacle. This is a nice place. No. Praise the Lord. But this is not the place that we are building. It is human lives that we are building. All this is just peripheral stuff. It looks nice. It's comfortable. Big deal. Right? That's not the big deal. Big deal is you and me. What God wants to do with you and me. Nice places are nice places. We thank God for those nice places, but we want to be the nice place that God. We want to be the nice place that God wants to build in, because God dwells in a chosen place. He dwells in living tabernacles. And as long as we are here, this place will be blessed. The moment we walk out, that's the end of this place. All right. So the last place was very anointed, and some people said, you know, it's so anointed, we should stay there. It's the people who are anointed, and as long as you worship God, you will be anointed, whether you are in Timbuktu or whether you are under the earth. Praise the Lord. So when Elisha was buried, they raised the dead from his bones, right, because of the anointing, right, because of what God has given. Praise the Lord. So we are a blessed people. God has a great and awesome purpose for us. And the presbytery that leads this assembly here needs to understand God's purpose. And to understand God's purpose, you have to grow in the Lord. You have to understand the people whom you are ministering to, and you need to see God's potentials in each and every one of them. That's why we have a presbytery. That's why we don't run a church based on one pastor, because he's too busy. So, you need to be alive to people. We are building people. We are not building an institution. We are not building an organization. We're building people so that those people will stand where God wants them to stand, wherever it is, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in a ministry, whether it's in a home. We all have many places that we hold. We have many spheres of influence. We stand in many different positions. We put on many different hats. And in everything that we do, the name of the Lord must be established. The testimony of Jesus must be proclaimed. If the testimony of Jesus is not proclaimed, then everything is a waste of time. Right? It will just pass away. You can spend 30 years doing your practicing your profession, and then it will pass away. But if you have stood in that profession in the name of the Lord, then the testimony of Jesus that has been developed over those 30 years, that you will take with you in all eternity. The skills you have developed in being able to function by the Lord, you will take with you in eternity. The job will pass away. I don't think they're going to need many doctors and accountants in heaven. Maybe they need a lot of teachers. Praise the Lord. Okay. But that's how you need to understand your life. We're all in full-time ministry, whether we like it or not. We serve the Lord. As housewives, we serve the Lord. As parents, we serve the Lord. As fathers, we serve the Lord. And whatever we do, we need to establish all things in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wherever Abraham went, he planted a stone and he built an altar to the Lord. Today, that altar is alive in our hearts. So wherever you are, that's where the altar of the Lord is. Whatever you say, that's where the altar of the Lord is being expressed. Whatever you do, it is an expression of the testimony of Jesus. That's powerful, because God is building us for humongous things in the future. So don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the day of learning how to overcome in mundane situations. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and He means to do a great work in your life. So don't miss the opportunity. And don't what shall I say? And don't sell the heritage that God has given you for a bowl of pottage. Because everything in the world, no matter how nice it looks, is ultimately just pottage. It ultimately is just pottage. It may look nice for a moment. Eventually, it just fades away. But things that God gives you, those things are real. Those things are awesome. Those things are powerful. Praise the Lord. So God's good. We want to thank God for bringing us to this place. We want to thank God for what He's going to do in this place before He moves us to some other place. Yeah. Maybe the next time we move, we break up into two. Praise the Lord. Corey, do you have anything to share?
Hallelujah. Isn't it good, eh? Isn't God good? And it feels so good in here, doesn't it, huh? I'm going to say it looks very pretty. I'm back again for a while, and I've been doing this for the last 20 years, and I believe, well, one day you stay in Australia, but I still can't stay there. but I believe it doesn't matter if you're 17, 70 or 75, which I am, because God will give you the strength in whatever you're going to do for him. If he calls you, go for his calling. Don't sit back and ask pastor or ask somebody, what do you think I should do? Go for it. Press in, move in, saying, okay, God, because he is looking for an available people. He wants people who are open, who wants to say, okay, God, it doesn't matter where you want me to go or what you want me to do. You just go. Because in whatever we do, God, I always believe, will give a tick behind your name. Well done, my faithful servant, he will say. And I believe it does not matter, count the years, count the days, count the months, but just count on God's blessings, which will overflow day after day, 24 hours a day. He has it with me. I have 7 children. Tomorrow, I'll be married for 52 years to the same man. Joined at the hip. Ah, hallelujah. 54 years. My babies are 44 years old. So, I mean, what's wrong with all the young people? Get up and go. And go for God. And your oldies also. But I think it's about time that whatever we do, you know, reach out and touch people. Because God has touched us. You touch that person. Because he will touch them also. I always say, Holy Spirit, if I can't do it, you go and get them. Get them. And I believe in whatever you're doing for God, you're never going to be misplaced. And he'll take you places that you think you're never going to be. And he will, for a little while, just take you away from your family. But you know where the heart is, where the home is. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Okay, shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your plan and your purpose for our lives. We need to understand the power that has been made available to us, O Lord, to make us a new creation, to make us a people who will walk in freedom and liberty in truth, Lord. A people who will be set free from the law of sin and death, Lord. A people who will know and understand that they have a destiny and will go after that destiny, because it is written in your word that you have chosen us and called us forth to be a people appointed to serve you, O God, in high places, Father. So we pray that you will bless the church to understand what you have called us to be, what you have given us, O God, in your righteousness, Lord, what you have opened to us, O God, in the fulfillment of the law, what you have opened to us, O God, through the fulfillment of the prophets. So much to look forward to, so much, O God, to reveal through our own lives, Lord. So much to discover, so much to manifest, so much to bring forth, O God, into humanity, Lord. And we pray that you will prepare each one of us to understand that, Lord, you have begun an awesome and humongous process with each one of us. It is a process of salvation that is entirely a creative process, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, you will lead us to understand the freedom and liberty of truth, Lord. That, Lord, we will not compromise that freedom and liberty of the truth and imprison ourselves, O God, in our carnality. We ask you to set us free. We ask you to enable us to do all things by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We ask you to lead us. We ask you to fashion us. We ask you to form us. We ask you to create our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. Verse 10 first, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. For he himself is our peace. He's talking about Jesus Christ, who has made both one, both Jew and Gentile into one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So Jesus Christ has abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And now God is in the process of creating in Jesus Christ, in himself, that is in Jesus Christ, one new man, thus making peace, shalom, thus making peace, thus unfolding his plan and his purpose for each one of us. We are a new covenant ministry. We are called to be ministers of the new covenant. You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Second Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter but of the Spirit, for the letter kills but the Spirit gives life. We are called to be a new covenant ministry, and the new covenant ministry understands that in the flesh of the Lamb, the law of commandments contained in ordinances is abolished. And so we need to minister in the Spirit that God has opened to us in Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit is here to manifest the substance of Jesus' fullness that will enable us to become one people. A people fashioned in one flesh. One flesh. That substance is of Jesus Christ. And every one of us can move into this. The moment you are born again, you're open to this. God is talking about something that is his workmanship. He's not talking about something that is under the law. Under the law, you were required to live a life in accordance with ordinances, in accordance with stipulations of the law. But in the abolishment of the law through the fulfillment of the law in Jesus Christ, you are called to discover a new reality of living in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we are concerned with. So what is this body that God is talking about? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. You find that in the King James Bible. We are members of his body on the basis of his flesh. His flesh. On the basis of his flesh. It is his flesh that sets us free from the law of commandments. And this is very important for us because we are called to be ministers of the new covenant. The new covenant is fashioned out of the flesh of the Lamb. It is fashioned out of the substance of the Master's fullness. And every one of us has got to learn how to receive and realize of the flesh of the Lamb so that we can minister the reality of what we have received and realized into the lives of others. If we live by the law, we will die under the law. If we minister by the law, people will die, because the law will never give you salvation. The law can only point out your mistakes. The law can only sentence you to the wages of sin, and the wages of sin is death. We are under grace. We are under grace not because grace is an easy thing. Grace only stands in the flesh of the Lamb. Grace only stands as you and I receive of the substance of the Master's fullness. And we can receive of the substance of the Master's fullness as we set our hope on Jesus Christ. And we set our hope on Jesus Christ based on the finished work of the cross. In the finished work of the cross, Jesus said, "It is accomplished. It is finished." Something has been done for us that is of the righteousness of God. Something that is of the faith and love of Jesus, something that is of the character and nature of Jesus, something that is of His willingness to forgive, something that is of His willingness to continue to travail with us in order to achieve something that we can never do in and of ourselves. And we need to understand that we minister in the witness that flows out of the cross of Jesus, in spirit, water, and blood. In whatever type of ministry you have to communicate that witness in spirit, water, and blood. We have to manifest that reality of God's grace. If we minister by the law, people will be condemned and people will be torn apart. And so often we do it. And we do it so often because we ourselves are not set free from under the law. We are still condemned under the law. We are still living in the guilt of being under the law. We have still not understood the finished work of the cross. In the finished work of the cross, you have been made complete in Christ. In the finished work of the cross, you are a saint. Faith means that you can see yourself as someone in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? If you can see that, then minister that into somebody else's life. If you are a parent, then minister that into the lives of your children. Minister that, if you are a husband or a father, you need to minister that to your wife, you need to minister that to your children. If you are a wife, then you need to minister that to your husband. We need to have freedom and liberty in truth. We need to have a desire for the truth because the truth actually sets us free. The truth enables us to be a new creation. The truth enables us to be a people who are no longer shackled under the law of sin and death. We are free. As ministers of the new covenant, you must have this revelation of a people being set free. You must have this revelation of communicating what Jesus has accomplished for us into the lives of people. When you prophesy in whatever capacity, you must understand this. When you speak into people's lives, you must understand this. You cannot put people behind bars through your ministering, through your counseling. Nothing is going to be achieved under behind bars. Nobody is going to be set free from behind bars. Under the law, when a person is judged by the law, even in our natural environment, we put them behind bars. Nothing changes. Nothing changes because the character and the nature of that person is the same. In a new covenant ministry, you understand that if you communicate Jesus into people's lives, they will be transformed, they will be set free, they will be saved, they will be healed. It has to happen. If you communicate Jesus faithfully, if your heart proclaims Him faithfully by the Holy Spirit, people will be set free. And you must understand that, you must communicate that, because people need Jesus. They don't have to be reminded that they are sinful people. What's the point of telling them that they are sinful and sinful and sinful? Yes, we have sinned. But let's talk about the solutions. By all means, point out the sin. Take that person aside and talk to them about their sin. But then, open the solution to them. Any fool can point another person's faults. That is not the big thing. The thing is that you have to give them the solution. You have to open their life to the solution that God has given to them. Otherwise, you have done nothing for them. We have to communicate Jesus so that people will be set free. When people are set free, there is change and transformation in their lives. So often we claim freedom for ourselves and we put other people under the law. We put them under a set of rules and regulations and we try and tie them up under those rules and regulations. A people who are set free from the law of sin and death, a people who can walk by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, can live in a freedom and liberty that comes by the Holy Spirit. So this ministry is in very real terms an experiment. An experiment in grace, an experiment in a freedom and liberty of truth, an experiment in the love of Jesus, that we can stand together as a church and move into those things that God has for us simply based on the reality of a living relationship with Jesus Christ that sets us free, in the reality of a heart of flesh that God is fashioning and forming within us. That we do not need rules and regulations to stipulate what needs to be done. That you have the capacity to respond to God in every situation and circumstance. I believe in that very strongly. Because there is no future for the church if we keep on drawing rules and regulations, because eventually we will have to write big rule books in order to govern every kind of situation that can take place. And in the end, what do we have? We have a church that is under the law. A church that theologically proclaims itself to be in freedom and liberty, but in practical terms, it functions under the law. Yes, people will abuse that. There will always be people who are wolves in sheep's clothing. But by the Spirit, you can also deal with them. But we need to learn how to function by the Spirit in a heart of flesh that God is creating within us. It is so important to understand that intimacy with the Lord, that intimacy that stands in a faith that sees ourselves as a people set apart unto God, a people who are members of His body that are of His flesh and of His bones. Not one bone in His body was broken. That was prophetic. So if you understand that you are part and parcel of the body of Christ, if you understand that you stand in that body, if you understand that your position in that body is established but literally by the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His faith, by His indestructible faith, by His faith that cannot be broken, then you can understand that grace is an awesome privilege. Then you can understand that there is a freedom and liberty that God has given you that will enable you to live in an entire new reality. Yes, we have weaknesses. Yes, we have character flaws. But all these can be dealt with through the finished work of the cross. All you have to do is to continue to set your hope on the Lord, to ask Him, ask the Holy Spirit to manifest within you that which is of Jesus Christ. There is a power that is at work within you to give you exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think. Ephesians 3:20. There is a power at work within you that Jesus went and paid the price for. That power stands in His Word. If you take hold of that Word and take hold of that Word, setting your hope on what Jesus has done for you on the cross, then there is a power that will work within you to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think. But for that power to work, you always must have your eyes on Jesus, not have your eyes on your weaknesses. So whenever you fail, you turn to the cross of Jesus. There is repentance in the cross. In the cross, there is a faith that is infinitely greater than your faith. In the cross, there is a love that is infinitely greater than your love that was unable to love somebody who did something wrong to you. You can draw from that. Through tongues, the Holy Spirit can bring into you the substance of the Master's fullness. Through tongues, the Holy Spirit will manifest to you what is part and parcel of the mystery of Christ, His substance. Ask for His substance. Ask for the substance of His love. Ask for the substance of His wisdom. Ask for the substance of His power. Ask for the substance of His understanding. Ask for the substance of His character and His nature. Ask for Him and you will receive. Anything in the name of Jesus cannot be refused to you. So in His flesh, the law has been abolished. You can live in a new plane of reality. You can walk in a freedom and liberty of grace. Please try and understand this. It will set you free from trying your best, because you're not going anywhere with your best. It is pointless you just boasting about the fact that you have been born again and you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, because those things are just preliminaries. They are merely preliminaries in God's salvation plan. You need to function in order to draw from God the finished work of the cross. It has to be manifested in you. It has to be unveiled in your character and your nature. Ask and you will receive. Not you may receive. Seek and you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. So go after it. You will never regret having more of Jesus in your character and your nature. You will never regret of anything you can receive from Jesus Christ. So teach your people to set their hope on the Lord. Prophesy hope. Prophesy hope into their lives. Don't prophesy condemnation. Speak hope into their lives. Preach hope into their lives. Because on the basis of hope, they will stand behind the veil. If they can take hold of that hope, if that hope can be ignited into their hearts, they can live in this reality that stands behind the veil. There is a reality that stands behind the veil. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. What is this veil? The veil of his flesh. So if you set your hope on the Lord, you are behind the veil of his flesh. You are functioning in a place where God has abolished the law of ordinances. God is not going to condemn you. God is going to work with you. God is going to deal with you. God is going to help you. God is going to heal you. God is going to deliver you. God is going to set you free. God is going to transform you. God is going to create in you a new nature in conformance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19 and 20. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Why by the blood of Jesus? Because in the blood of Jesus, Jesus did something for you. For you. In the blood of Jesus, he expressed a faith. He expressed a love. He expressed an integrity for you. The blood was shed for you. It was not shed for anybody else. It was shed for you. And by the blood, you have a confidence. If you keep on looking at the law and trying to earn your place because you have fasted 40 days and 40 nights, good luck to you. I'm not saying don't fast 40 days and 40 nights. Do that if the Holy Spirit leads you. But if you're trying to do that to try and manifest your righteousness before God, let me tell you clearly and unambiguously, you're wasting your time. Because your righteousness will never attain what God is talking about. But if the Holy Spirit tells you to fast, fast. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. This is not a way, it is a living way. That means it is alive to you. It is a witness that you can live by. You can respond to at all times. You respond to this living way in hope, in faith, in righteousness, in love, and in holiness. By a new living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Through the veil that is his flesh. So if you set your hope on Jesus, the veil is open. So what are you setting your hope on Jesus for? If all you can think of is a new car, then that's sad. But if you can think of a new life, a purpose, a destiny, if you can see a reality of you functioning for the Lord in your workplace, in your profession, in your ministry, in your home, raising up godly children, being able to establish their lives before God through your prayer. If you can see those kinds of things, then God will honor what you are asking for, because you are asking for something that will stand in the abiding, because behind the veil it is eternity, brethren. It is not time denominated. Behind the veil we stand as abiding people. We are not looking for carnal things behind the veil. Behind the veil stands the reality of the kingdom of God. Behind the veil, you are a creature of destiny. You are a creature of eternity. You are not someone with 70 years anymore. Behind the veil, notwithstanding what is happening to you in the natural, you stand in a plane of reality that God has given you in the merits of the Lamb. The completed work of the cross establishes you as a son unto God behind the veil. And you can stand there at the speed of thought, provided your thoughts are on Jesus Christ, based on the finished work of the cross. What is so difficult about that, guys? The trouble is, so many of us are so carnal. We fix our minds on this and that, things that will pass away. That's why Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. Becoming the head and not the tail is part and parcel of God's guaranteed covenant over your life. But we want to achieve it with our flesh. And God says, your flesh is rotting. Your flesh is dying. Why do you want to achieve something in your flesh that is also by definition going to rot and going to die? What are you going to achieve through that? God says, I have called you to be the head and not the tail. I will give you the honors. I will raise you up. Why do you seek to establish your carnal ambitions? How on earth can I reward your carnal ambitions? Tell me how, says the Lord. Tell me in what way I can honor your carnality. How can I honor death? I came to abolish death. I came to give you life. You ask me to honor that which by definition must die. How can I do that, says the Lord? How can I do that, says the Lord? You want to establish ministries for your own name. How on earth can I honor such a ministry? Do you seriously think I can build a ministry in your name? Do you think I can build a ministry for your glory? Seriously, intelligently tell me, says the Lord. Come, discuss it with me. Let's talk about the great ministry that you have. Let's talk about the great anointings that you have. What is it that you have in yourself? I would like to know. What is it you think you can establish in your glory and in your greatness? I would like to know that. On whose name can anything be established forever? On whose name can anything stand before me? In whose merits can anything stand before me? You tell me. Can you stand before me in your merits? Can you stand before me in the righteousness of your heart? For I am a holy God. I am a consuming fire. Will your heart stand before my consuming fire? It is only under the covering of the blood that you can stand before me. Otherwise, I would destroy you. For I am a holy God. So think about these things. Think about these things. Everything that will enable us to stand behind the veil, and everything that will enable us to commune with God, everything that will enable us to enjoy His presence, everything that will enable us to take delight in the fear of the Lord, those are realities that come out of the flesh of the Lamb. They are of His substance. They are of the bread of the holy, and they are of the bread of the most holy. I am the bread of life, said Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I am bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. There is no other. That bread of life is my flesh. That bread of life is my flesh. Let's turn to John chapter 6. verse 51. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. Why? Because if he eats of this bread, if he absorbs the realities that are carried in this bread, he stands behind the veil. That's why he will live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. It is my flesh. So if you eat of his flesh, the veil is opened. So how do you eat of his flesh? How do you eat of his flesh? How do you eat of his flesh? Jeremiah chapter 15. Verse 16. And it says here, thy words were found and I ate them. So the bread of life that God is giving us is his word. His word understood through the finished work of the cross. His word expounded to you through the testimony of Jesus. Not the word expounded to you under the law. Not the word expounded to you theologically. But the word expounded to you in the testimony of Jesus. And he says, thy words were found and I ate them, and thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. Now what does joy represent? Joy represents the strength of the Lord. So if you eat bread in your natural self, it gives you strength in your fleshly body. So if you eat of the word of the Lord, it will give you the joy of the strength of the Lord. And you will take delight. Delight is ecstasy. In Isaiah chapter 11 verse 3, it says there that Jesus Christ will delight in the fear of the Lord. The Messiah will delight in the fear of the Lord. You and I need to delight in the fear of the Lord. But he says, if you eat my word, If you receive the word in the finished work of the cross, you will understand you are free. You don't have to present your merits to the Lord, your God, anymore. You can live by the merits of the Lamb. You can function by the merits of the Lamb. And according to how God has called you, according to what God has appointed you to do, according to the anointings that are at work in your life, you will see all the things that God has for you manifest, and you will see the power of God flow through you. You will see God give you spheres of influence far beyond your capacity, your intelligence. And you will realize that the Lord has truly lifted you up. And you will understand that Jesus Christ purchased that with his blood. And you will be grateful. But so often when we are raised to high position, we strut around like peacocks. Why do we strut around like peacocks? Because we have lost sight of the finished work of the cross. We think we got anointed because we fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Were you born fasting 40 days and 40 nights, lad? God gave you the grace to do that. Why do we need to boast in our achievements? Why can't we rest in the Lord and boast of his goodness in our lives? Because we live by him. Anything that is of worth that we have in our lives today is because of him. So give him the glory. Why is it so difficult to give him the glory? It's the most natural thing to do. If someone saves your life, blesses you, and gives you things that are entirely beyond your capacity, isn't it basic to be grateful? Isn't it basic intelligence to understand that you need to be grateful to the person who gave you these things? Isn't it right that he be given first place in your heart? What is so difficult about doing that? If we don't have this understanding of what the new covenant stands in, the new covenant stands in the abolishment of the law of ordinances and commandments. It stands in the fulfillment that comes through Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus commands us to do a lot of things. He commands us to love. But when He commands you, He's also telling you that that love comes from Me. It comes in My substance. I have given you the substance of My fullness on the cross, so that you can be fashioned out of My flesh, so that you can be made a functioning member of the body of Christ in My flesh. Not in your merits, not in your achievements, so that you will always understand that God has saved you. You will always understand it is not your faith that has saved you. It is the faith of God manifested for you through the cross. David understood that. He had faith. He was anointed. He killed a lion with his bare hands. He killed Goliath with one stone. But when he fell in adultery, he realized that he needed to be saved by God. And that sets the theme for the new covenant. That cry that David made in Psalm 54 verse 1, "Save me, O God, by thy name, vindicate me by thy power," became the basis for the new covenant to be given. Somewhere along the line, some man had to come to a point in his life where he needed to see that God needed to save him, that God needed to do something with him which he could not do. That's why God loved David. Because he opened those doors, which Moses didn't do, which Elijah didn't do. David saw God in the context of his own frailties. And he addressed God in the context of his frailties. Read through his Psalms. It's all about his frailties. Yes, he has great intimacy with the Lord. Yes, that's also there. But he addresses God in the frailty of his weaknesses. And because he does that, God is pleased with him. Because he gives God rightful position in our lives. We, as ministers of the new covenant, need to give God that preeminent position in our hearts. Otherwise, who are we going to minister to? But to give God that preeminent position will not simply come out of emotion. It has to come out of a life that is surrendered to God. You have to surrender your weaknesses to the Lord. You have to identify your own character flaws, take them to the Lord, and receive the substance of the Master's fullness that will bring the transformation and the change, so that you can minister the reality of His saving grace into the lives of others. What's the point of ministering head knowledge of Scripture into people's lives? What's the point of manifesting carnal expressions of the anointing over people's lives? Who is going to be set free from the yoke that you yourself are not set free from? Who is going to be set free? Who are you trying to bluff? Who are you trying to impress? Lucifer was so impressed with himself that he finally killed himself. There are so many people in frontline Christian ministry today who are so impressed with themselves. If you're impressed with Jesus Christ, I can understand you are a man of God. But if you're impressed with yourself, you must be a dope. What is so impressive about you and me? Honestly, what is so impressive about you and me? What is so impressive about a guy who is dying? What is so impressive about somebody who cannot stand beyond 90 years or 100 years? What is so impressive about that? I mean, so God's talking to us. The cross represents eternity. The cross represents the abiding. The cross represents the kingdom of God being opened to you. The cross represents God's work. The cross represents God's righteousness. The cross represents God's love. The cross represents God's grace. We minister the cross always. What's the point of ministering a gift? So you function in a word of knowledge and you tell somebody he has sinned in 1921 when there were green lights on in his room. You're very impressed that you saw green lights and you saw him in his room. So what's going to come out of that, brother? So you have the discernment of spirits and you saw 9 demons standing around him. So what's so impressive about that? So what goes on after that? You leave him there with his demons. If you can't bring him into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, what on earth are you doing? So you throw out the demons, tomorrow evening they come back again. God's talking to us, practical things. The cross of Jesus Christ is a witness of love. A witness able to overcome the failings of other people. A witness able to see the way where there seems to be no way. You minister to people who have got seemingly an endless array of weaknesses and character flaws and all kinds of darknesses ruling over their lives. The question is, do you have the faith to see the way? The question is not whether you are anointed, brother. The question is not whether you're gifted. The question is not whether you have 9 degrees after your name. The question is not whether you know all the Bible by heart. The question is, can you see the way for him? If you see the way for him, then you are ministering to him. If you cannot see the way for him, you're doing nothing for him. So God is asking us to see the way. God is asking us to pray the way into their lives. And the way is a person. The way is a person. The way is defined in his character and his nature. The way is opened in his witness and his testimony. The way is described in his word. The way stands through his words. His words are the word of God explained through him. Explained through what he has accomplished. Explained through his faith. Explained through his character. Explained through his love. Can you explain the word of God in the character and nature of Jesus? That's what God is asking you. So you want to be a pastor. So you want to be an evangelist. So you want to be a prophet. Can you release the word in the character and nature of Jesus? That's what God is asking. You say you are a man of God. You say you are a woman of God. You say you are anointed. You say you are an anointed worshiper. You say you are this. You say you are that. Can you release things in my name? Can you release things that will communicate me into somebody else's heart? That's what the Lord is asking us. Can you open the way through the veil of his flesh? You can't bluff. Because if you don't have that heart of flesh, you cannot open this realm to anybody. This is the preparation for a man and woman of God. This is the means, the only means by which the sons of God can stand before God. You and I need to take hold of that reality. This is not about scholarship. This is not about whether you have the anointing or you don't have the anointing. What's the point of having the anointing if you don't know what to do with that anointing? What's the point of having gifts that will move the mountains when you don't know which mountain to move? You don't even know where the mountain stands because it ain't a physical mountain. God has allowed the church to do many things. We have seen frontline people do all kinds of funny things, build big buildings for themselves, big names for themselves, big ministries for themselves, and God is asking the church the question, so who got saved? So who got saved? So who is standing in my kingdom? Who is standing in my name? So who loves me? So who cares for me? Who is standing to see my name honored? That's what he's asking. So you have your building, you have your chandeliers on the wall, crystal chandeliers and what else? You have multi-million dollar TV programs, but who is standing behind the veil in my kingdom? Who is standing by my name? Who is standing by who I am and by all that I am? Who loves me with all of their heart and soul and mind and strength? Who loves me? Who is able to communicate me into the lives of others? What have you established? So you run big schools and you say you graduate 1,000 students every year. How many of these students even know me from a football? Just because they go through a course, you think they are ready for ministry. And never once did you ever ask them, do they love me? Because you yourself have never asked yourself, do I love you, Lord? So that's what the Lord is talking about. The law is abolished in his flesh. But if his flesh is not abolished, then you and I will be judged by the law. And God help us if we are judged by the law. God help us if we are shut under the law. Because until that veil in the temple was torn, Abraham and Moses were all shut up in Sheol. Yes, they had a place called paradise. But nonetheless, they were in prison. Because they could not meet the requirements of the law. So today, God is asking us basic questions. What is it that you are ministering? What is it you are trying to establish? On what basis are you trying to establish the Church of Jesus Christ? Are you even interested in setting up the Church of Jesus Christ? Or do you just want to keep busy and have everyone say how anointed you are? God's asking basic questions. Do you love me? Or do you hate me? There is no in between, says the Lord. Those who do not love me by default hate me. Because the Lord says it is only fair that I, who have given myself to you on the cross, can demand that you love me. So what is your preparation for the ministry? There are going to be a lot of people being released to do ministry. What is your preparation for the ministry? What is your qualification for the ministry? A piece of paper? A certificate? Or is that qualification a heart that belongs to me? A heart that belongs to me, I have to create for you, says the Lord. Because nobody else can give you such a heart. Do you want such a heart? Are you even interested in such a heart? The Lord's asking us those basic fundamental questions. We're going to be training people for ministry. God is asking us, what are you going to be training them for? What are you going to be training them to stand in? What is going to be their qualification, a certificate that you give them? Or a communion with me that you have brought them into? Yeah? So we are a tabernacle. Why are we called a tabernacle? Simply because we are the dwelling place of God. What is this dwelling place designed for? For His name. What is this dwelling place designed for? His presence. Who is this dwelling place? You and I are the dwelling places of God. In Psalm 84, the psalmist sees these dwelling places and he declares, "How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord." God is not living in concrete and stone. He's looking with a man with a heart that is contrite and humble. Such a heart only Jesus Christ had. Even Moses, whom the Bible addresses as the most humble man on earth, got angry with God. And God said, you cannot enter the promised land. Am I right? So if the most humble man on earth got angry with God, so what is this contrite heart and contrite spirit going to come from, if not from the substance of the Master's fullness? So what do you pray for yourselves every day? Ask the Lord. What is your preparation for the ministry? What is your preparation for the day's ministry? What is your preparation when you prepare a message? What is your preparation when you prophesy? What is your preparation when you evangelize? Basic questions, all of which need an answer. If you get behind the veil, there is freedom and liberty. If you and I can communicate true freedom and liberty from our hearts, I think the nations will come in. I think the nations will come in. They will come rushing in. But if you and I communicate our own selfish agendas, then even if they come in, they will be lost. So are you saved? How saved are you? How saved are you? Are you saved enough to love me, says the Lord? Are you saved enough to see my name glorified? Are you saved enough to build a church for my name and for my name alone? Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that the law of ordinances, O God, is abolished in the flesh of the Lamb. Enable us to understand what you meant by that, Lord, because we are meant to be fashioned and formed in the flesh of the Lamb. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We thank you that not one bone in his body was broken. So if we can get into the reality of what stands behind the veil of your flesh, Lord Jesus, we will also draw upon the reality of a bone that cannot be broken, holding us in position in the body, even as our natural flesh is held positioned in our body. We want to thank you and bless you for giving us such a picture of salvation. And we pray that as you build this tabernacle, O God, out of each and every one of us, as you build us, O God, into effective ministries, O God, for your glory, we pray that we will always stand in the new and living way that is behind the veil of your flesh. Holy Spirit, we ask you to teach us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to manifest in us that fullness that is of Jesus Christ, that fullness that is of his spirit and his life, that fullness that is of his faith and his love, that fullness that is of his character and his nature, that fullness that is given expression to in his witness and his testimony. We ask you, Lord, to bless the church in this reality, that we will see, that we will understand, and we will prepare ourselves as ministers of the new covenant, built out of your righteousness. No longer will we present to you our righteousnesses. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read for you one passage of scripture. Just, I didn't get into it. Romans chapter 10. Chapter 9, verse 31, Paul writes, Israel pursuing a law of righteousness did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Chapter 10, verse 2, For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Praise the Lord. So seeking to establish their righteousness, and many of us are caught in that kind of a mindset, seeking to establish our righteousness, seeking to establish our merits before God, not understanding that in the perfection of God's nature and character, you and I cannot possibly have any merits, no matter how hard we try. That's why Jesus came to save us, so that we will be established by the merits of the Lamb. And by the merits of the Lamb, we all have a place before God. Isn't that exciting? Praise the Lord. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, Jesus says, remember me. This is why he says, remember me. Remember what I have done for you, and make sure you take hold of what I have done for you. Make sure you express what I have done for you in your life, in your ministry, in your workplaces, in your relationships. In everything that you do in thought, word, and in deed, make sure you remember me. Because if you do not remember me and do something, you are simply walking in your own flesh. If you walk by the Holy Spirit, as so many Christians claim to, then you will always remember Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will reveal me. He will glorify me. So if you and I are walking by the Holy Spirit, we will not be so full of ourselves. We will be full of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So as we partake of Holy Communion, shall we just pray? Shall we just pray? Before we pray, let me just give you the verse that talks about the bread of the holy and the most holy. Leviticus chapter 21. Leviticus chapter 21. Verse 22. He may eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. But if you look at Moses' tabernacle, there was only the bread of the holy. So what is this bread of the most holy? This is what Revelation chapter 2 talks about as the hidden manna, the manna of the name of God. All right? Praise the Lord. That manna comes to us in the bread of the most holy. Father, we bless you and thank you for what you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. A heritage, priceless, Lord. A heritage, eternal. A heritage, abiding. A heritage that is going to be a discovery. A journey of discovery that will manifest our hearts in the delight of the fear of the Lord. We will be a God-fearing people. We will be a people who will taste and see you, O Lord. We will be a people who will cease striving and know that you are God. We thank you that in the flesh of the Lamb, which we celebrate in this communion Passover, Lord, is removed from us, O God. The law of commandments is removed from us through the flesh of the Lamb. We are so grateful that this witness of the cup declares that reality to us. We pray that it will become a living witness in us, that is the true and faithful witness described in spirit, water, and blood. So bless and sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the unveiling of the prophetic that stands symbolized in this bread and this cup of wine, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for what you are opening to us by the Spirit in the fullness of Jesus Christ, as you reveal your word to us through the testimony of Jesus. Create in us the heart of flesh that we all need, and manifest in us the witness that will function through this heart of flesh, so that we will be holy unto you, so that we will function in a new and living way that stands behind the veil of your flesh, Lord Jesus. We ask, Father, that you will bring forth this new creation in your righteousness, so that we will truly boast of our God in everything that we become, in everything that we do, that our ministries, O God, our expression of the anointings and giftings that are operating in our lives will be an expression, O God, entirely fashioned out of the flesh and blood of the Lamb. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.